peace talks on Libya are set to resume on Thursday in Morocco. Libya has been in chaos since Muammar Gaddafi was ousted in 2011, with rival militias and even rival governments battling for control. Most concerning for the West is the rise of ISIS in Libya. Earlier this week, the militant group kidnapped more than a dozen medical workers from a hospital in the city of Sirte. Let's check in on Libya now with two people who are well-versed in what's going on there. Peter Cole, a former senior analyst with the International Crisis Group. He's the lead editor of the new book, The Libyan Revolution and Its Aftermath. He's with us from Washington. Peter, welcome.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
And we're also joined by journalist Mary Fitzgerald, who is one of the contributors to that book and spent all of last year living in Libya. Mary, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And I want to start with you, Mary, because you were just there in Libya last month. This is a place that there are not many journalists from the West covering what's going on there. Tell us what it's like there right now.
Well, I often refer to I was in Tripoli and Misrata, and I often refer to the mood in Tripoli right now, and I think we could say it's the mood right across the country, as something of a abnormal normal. In parts of the country where you don't actually have clashes and fighting, you have this sense of a veneer of normality. Life appears to go on. School kids are going to class. Cafes and restaurants are open. Shops are open. But there is a deep undertow of unease, a sense of real uncertainty, and a real sense of fear as well. In Tripoli, there's a sense that you cannot criticize the status quo, you cannot criticize the factions that are in control of Tripoli right now. And similarly, in eastern Libya, there is a sense that you cannot criticize the status quo there, you cannot criticize the dominant forces in the east. One man in Tripoli said to me last month, he made a very interesting point. He said, you know, people speak of two governments in Libya. But he said, really, we're not being governed in any real sense. There's no government in Libya. Neither government is interested in governing in any real sense. They're more interested in continuing this political power struggle. So there's a lot of resentment on the ground amongst ordinary Libyans who are suffering a lot of privations as a result of that political power struggle that is now in its ninth month.
Peter Cole, in addition to these two governments, you've also got ISIS taking control in parts of Libya. How big of a factor is the Islamic State in Libya right now?
It's certainly growing. They started to become a factor mid to end of last year. You had, before ISIS arrived on the scene, you had various militias who were growing more and more rejectionist of democracy, more and more rejectionist of the direction the rest of the country wanted to take. Those have now been inspired by what they've seen happening in Syria and Iraq. We've seen some fighters returning. We've seen commanders from other countries such as Yemen, Bahrain, Tunisia come over and almost cannibalize or assume command of this more extreme element of Libyan society. It's a growing threat for sure.
And Mary, is there any sense that the peace talks that are supposed to be held in Morocco later this week will lead to any kind of negotiated settlement and end the fighting in Libya?
Well, I have to say that there's a lot of skepticism on the ground in Libya about these peace talks. For sure, ordinary Libyans want to see an end to the current political power struggle. They see the rising specter of ISIS in Libya, the prospect of a three-way war. So they want a resolution, but they're quite skeptical about these peace talks because up to now, what these peace talks have involved is basically politicians, civil society members, not the representatives of the various armed groups. And many ordinary Libyans will say that real power in Libya is not vested in elected institutions or state institutions. It's vested in those armed groups. The men with the guns are the real power brokers in Libya. And until they are involved in the dialogue process, it really won't go anywhere.
People will remember that it was 4 years ago, back in 2011, the West, with the United States as one of the lead players, got behind this effort during the Arab Spring to oust the longtime ruler of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi. There were airstrikes that the U.S., Britain, France, and Canada were involved in. But today, what role is the West playing in trying to rebuild Libya, if any at all?
Well, I mean, certainly there's a lot of debate as to whether the West could have done more, could be doing more. We have to remember something, which was in the context of the politics in the Middle East. The international community really wanted Libyans to lead and own this revolution for themselves. And that came at a trade-off. The trade-off was that there couldn't be a more robust intervention earlier on. There couldn't be... No one had appetite to put boots on the ground. And so the trade-off was that Libyans assumed this authority, and then when the Libyans divided against themselves, it was very difficult for the international community to come in and support them when it was most needed. I can say a lot of work is being done now to support the Libyans. The difficulty is now the governments are collapsing and it's difficult to know who to talk to get things done. I think the key is getting a unity government in place, and then that government can give a platform for you, the UN and the international community, to legally and legitimately come in and help the Libyan people.
But Mary, should the West be doing more at this point, do you think?
Well, on the ground in Libya, many Libyans will say that they felt that the Western powers could have done more and should have done more post 2011. They complained that in many respects they felt that Libya was abandoned. The very real challenges that Libya faced following the ousting of Gaddafi. This was a country which had been subjected to Gaddafi's bizarre experiment in governance for over 42 years. There were real legacy issues there, very deep-rooted institutional legacy issues that Libyans felt that they needed help in overcoming. So there is a perception on the ground in Libya that that basically Western powers that took part in the 2011 intervention could have and should have done more.
Well, so let me ask you, you bring up Gaddafi's bizarre way of governing. We have spoken at length on this program about some of the atrocities that were committed during his time in power. But would Libya be better off today if Gaddafi were still there running the show?
Well, what I find interesting this year, 4 years on from the 2011 revolution and with the distance of time, that Libyans are engaging more and more in revisionism, if you like, of what happened in 2011. And that's not to say that they regret what happened in 2011, although there are some Libyans who would say that they do in some respects. But they're examining the twists and turns of what happened that year and asking themselves, what if? What if certain decisions had been taken and others had not? So that's quite interesting that that's happening with the distance of time. I think it's important, though, to say that there isn't that nostalgia for the old order as such, for the old regime. Hmm. But people are looking back to pre-2011 and are comparing life then and life now. And for sure, Libya is a far less secure place to live in than it was before 2011. But others would argue that the freedoms that they feel now, the freedom of speech and expression that they experienced over the last 4 years, though, as I mentioned earlier, there is a sense that that's being snuffed out to a degree in certain parts of the country where people are fearful of really voicing their opinion on what's going on right now. But there are elements of what was achieved in 2011 that Libyans still hold very dear.
So here we are today in 2015, and what's happened has happened. But how easy is it going to be to get these sides to get together and form the new Libya, or is it possible?
I think it's going to be very, very difficult, because apart from the bitter political power struggle that has engulfed the political actors in Libya, you also have their various armed factions fighting each other in different parts of the country. That in turn has poisoned Libyan society more generally. In Libya right now, people are extremely divided over the nature of the crisis, what caused the crisis, and how to resolve the crisis. And we're talking about a country that is not only divided east and west in terms of the two governments, but also divided, regions are divided, communities are divided, even families are divided over what's happening in the country. And that is really creating a very, very bitter polarization, which raises all kinds of fresh reconciliation challenges for Libya. On top of those reconciliation challenges it already faced as a result of what happened in 2011 during the revolution, and also in terms of what happened over 42 years of Gaddafi in power.
That's Mary Fitzgerald, one of the few journalists who has been in Libya recently. She was there all last year and as recently as last month. She's one of the contributors to the book, The Libyan Revolution and Its Aftermath. We've been speaking with the lead editor of that book, Peter Cole, who was also a senior analyst with the International Crisis Group, all about Libya and what has happened there and what is still to come with peace talks starting up on Thursday in Morocco. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.